Well, they say that as you get older, the summers get shorter. This one was less than a week. That's not good. But we're back in our study tonight, Psalm number 119. And we are in verses 65 through 72 tonight. 65 through 72. And we'll begin in reading in verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give you praise tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity to once again come into the many treasures of Psalm number 119. And Father, we pray that as we look at these verses tonight, that you will bless us, and Lord, that you will open our hearts to the Word of God, and that you will release your knowledge to us that we might have understanding. I pray that your Spirit would guide me tonight as I speak on this subject, and I pray, Father, that you would use me to be a blessing to these folks. And Lord, we just thank you for this time of prayer and for the time in the Word of God, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing that we realize about the Bible is that it is a book about relationships. If you go back to the beginning and you go back to the book of Genesis, we find the relationship that God has with His creation and the relationship that God has with man. We find that relationship broken because of sin. And then we go from there and we find that God had a remedy. He had a way to restore that relationship. And today we realize that the relationship, whether or not a man has a relationship with God, is based upon what he does with Jesus Christ. But the book from cover to cover deals with relationships, man's relationship to his Creator. And there's probably no other book, no other section in the Bible that deals with it, with that relationship, on a more intimate basis than Psalm 119. Because it looks at our relationship from every possible angle, and it does it by examining the Word of God and examining our lives in the context of God's Word. Tonight we're going to be looking at the Word of God as our experience. And we're going to cover these verses tonight because these verses are going to show us what our past experience with God, how that prepares us for the present and gives us hope for the future. One of the things I want you to notice before we even go on is the word thy. And you're going to see this. I'm sorry I haven't mentioned this prior to this particular study, but you can almost choose any verse that we have gone over prior to this, and as a matter of fact, in every verse tonight, you will find the word thy. Because we are talking about the relationship that God has with man and that man has with God. And so our relationship depends entirely upon Him, upon the work that Jesus Christ has done, and very little other than the fact that we operate by faith do we have to add to any part of this, but God has done it all. And so our relationship depends on God. And if you see in verse 65, we've just read all this, but let's do this again and let's look at the word thy in every one of these. It says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And this goes on and on throughout Psalm 119, this relationship between man and God, and it depends on Him. And so you see the word thy in almost any verse that you pick out. You can go back onto any verse that we have covered, and you'll find the word thy in one of those verses. It is the predominant word that you will find throughout Psalm 119. Now tonight we begin in verse 65, and it says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Until we deal with the past, we can have no future with God. That is the subject of salvation. Until we deal with our past, until we are willing to give our past, our sins, our trespasses to God, there is no present time, nor relationship, nor future with God. And here the psalmist looks back into his past, and he says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. If any of us want to be honest tonight before God, we can look back to the time before we knew God, before we had a relationship with God. And even then, we would have to admit that God has dealt well with every one of us. He preserved us and kept us. He did not bring judgment against us. He did not take our lives for the times that we cursed, but the times that we trespassed against Him. God was merciful to us as sinners. So we can look back at the life that we had before we came into His presence and before we signified and acknowledged who He was, and we would have to say that He dealt well with us. But how much more so has God dealt well with those of us who have surrendered to Him and have acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Savior? The psalmist here has these words, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Isn't it wonderful that God has a plan for every life that turns to Him? It's wonderful that God did not throw us away, but that God redeemed us. He has dealt well, and it's a wonderful thing to be a servant of the living God. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. How do we know who God is? And how do we know what God has done? How do we know what God wants for our lives? How do we know that we have trespassed and that we have sinned? How do we know all these things? We know them because we have read them in the account that God has provided for us, the Word of God. And so he looks back at his life in the context of the Word of God, and he says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. You see, that's experience. We all have an experience with God. If we are a Christian tonight, it's impossible not to have had an experience with God and be called a Christian. You have to have an experience with Him. You have to, first of all, acknowledge that you're a sinner, and you have to go into a relationship with Him. And so we all have a background. We all have a history, and so we have this time that we can look back to, and every one of us, no matter what we have gone through, have to acknowledge that God has dealt well with His servants. And He's done it in the context of His Word. Why? Because we come to Him by faith in the Word of God. We have to believe. Now in verse 66, we see something very interesting. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. The word for judgment here is a different word than what you and I would think of as far as judgment is concerned. This is a different type of judgment. This is not the judgment of God upon sin. This is judgment of character. The word judgment here means taste. How many times have you heard someone say, boy, they've got good taste. They have great taste in clothes, or they have great taste in their home. They really know how to set their home up, or their yard. They have a great taste when it comes to certain things. Well, here, that's the same type of context that this word judgment means. But here, the word taste is referring to a spiritual taste. Teach me good spiritual taste. Now, many years ago, a man by the name of Sir John Lubbock noticed a very unusual thing. Now, I'm sure that many people before him had realized this, and I'm sure that you have realized this. You just maybe never have put it into context before. But John Lubbock was noticing insects and the different insects and how they related to different flowers. He watched bees, and he noticed that bees are attracted to flowers that are aromatic, that have a very pleasant smell, and that they frequent flowers that are bright and beautiful. And the more the bees come, the more beautiful the flowers become. Season after season after season, the bees are attracted to the beauty, and they make the beauty greater. On the other hand, he noticed that flies are drawn to pale and dull flowers, and to flowers that are dying, that are not healthy. And he watched them, and he said, it's a remarkable thing to watch these. You have, on one hand, you have these bees that are attracted to beautiful and living things and make them even more beautiful and make them more alive. On the other hand, you have flies which are attracted to carrion, those things that are dying, those things that are dull. And he came up with the premise, he said that there are, even though these are all insects, they have two different natures. They're programmed differently. And he made the comment that men are like bees and flies. Men who have come to Jesus Christ have a desire for beautiful things, for life. And the more they desire that, the greater impact they have on making it more beautiful. Whereas men who do not know Jesus Christ and want nothing to do with him are attracted to dead things and dying things. And we can see that all around us. The darkness, the sin that is so prevalent in our day, and those that are carrying it out. And so, when we look at this word for judgment, and we come to the word taste, teach me good taste, how do we know what tastes good? Well, we do it through the knowledge that God gives us in His Word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. We come by faith, and we believe. We have to believe that God is doing a work in our lives in order for God to do a work in our lives. We have to believe that He is faithful and just, and that He forgives us of our sins. We have to believe and we have to trust in the Word of God. And so he says, I have done that, Lord. I believe with all of my heart. Now, teach me through the Word of God to have good taste according to spiritual things. In verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. These two verses go hand in hand, and so I'm going to talk about what we just discussed with the bees and the flies to move into verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Obviously, the psalmist had been reprimanded. He'd been humbled before God because he had been involved in something that was not correct, something that he knew that was sin, something that God had brought chastisement upon him for. He was afflicted because of it. And yet here, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. God humbled him through affliction and brought him back. But now, he said, I have kept thy word. And what he was doing was he was a bee acting like a fly. A Christian acting like a man of the world. And we see that in the New Testament with the story of the prodigal son. He was a son who thought he wanted to go to the pig pen instead of the sheepfold. But after he got to the pig pen, he realized that it wasn't that great a treat at all. And then he desired to go back into the sheepfold. And over, it's a difficult lesson for Christians to learn. But we will stray from time to time, but God will humble us, chastise us, bring affliction into our lives to bring us back in line and back into the sheepfold. And I know that there are so many, there's a lot of confusion here as to whether a person can be a Christian and yet not be walking with God for years and years and years. That is a very difficult thing to look at and to answer. Our hope, of course, is that some of those people will return to the knowledge of God, will come back, and that they will make things right. But over and over we see in the Word of God, and we see in other places, that people who do not return, and never have a desire to return, probably were not saved in the first place. Never had that relationship. And so, when we are reprimanded, or when God brings chastisement into our lives and draws us back into the fold, we should be praising God that we had that relationship and that the shepherd reached out and pulled us back in line. Because when that happens, it's proof that we are a child of God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Here we have two aspects of God. Both are good. Thou art good, that's the nature of God. God is good. You remember the conversation that Jesus had with the rich young ruler, and he said, "Good master," and Jesus said, "Wait a minute, why do you call me good?" Only God is good. He was trying to get this young man's attention so that he would understand who God is and that Jesus was indeed God. But it's a word that speaks of the nature of God. Thou art good. And then he says, thou doest good. So we see his nature in the first part of it, but we see his works in the second part of it. Thou doest good. Remember back in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, with every step, God said, it is good. It is good. Because what God does is good. That's his nature. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. In other words, teach me the word of God because it is good. 69 says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. The proud, they always do. The proud always forge a lie against truth because it's the only way that they can justify their pride in their sin. They forge a lie against God's people. They forge a lie against the Word of God. They constantly deny that there is a God. They deny that God exists or that there is a need for a Savior, that man is a fallen creature. Man has a way of boasting in his pride that there is no God. I don't know, I've heard many men say, well, where is God? You people are always talking about God. Where is he? I haven't seen him. Nobody has seen him. Nobody has heard his voice. Where is he? And even some of the Russian astronauts who went up in the cosmonaut made the boast from space, here we are in outer space, but we do not see God. Well, that would be like saying that a worm crawling across the ground was talking to another worm and saying, where is man? I don't see man. I don't see him down here. I've been through all of this ground down here. I've gone through everything. I haven't seen a man. And I've been up on the top of the grass, and I've felt the heat of the sun, and I've felt the rain and the dew, but I haven't seen a man. Well, it's because a worm is impossible. A worm is so small and so teeny compared to a man, he wouldn't even acknowledge. He wouldn't understand the size of a man. And that's the way it is with us. We're a worm on the face of this earth, and we're looking for a God who's holding the universe in the palm of his hand and saying, where's God? That's how ludicrous that statement is. The proud have forged a lie against me. Everything around us speaks of the fact that there is a God. The intricacy of the creation itself demands that there is a creator. And yet the proud forged a lie against me. But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I believe. I believe. You remember in the Old Testament, Samuel, when the nation of Israel demanded that they have a king. All the other nations had a king. They wanted a king. And they told Samuel, they demanded that Samuel provide them with a king. Samuel went to God. He said, God, they've rejected me. God said, no. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. They've rejected me. So when people make fun of you, don't feel bad about it. When people find fault with what you say or fault with the fact that you happen to be a staunch believer in the Word of God, don't feel bad about it. It isn't that they have rejected you. They have rejected God. And so they have to deal with that. They don't have to deal with you. They have to deal with someone much more powerful than we are. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. What that means is that their heart is covered in sin and hardened. It's hardened. A heart that is hardened is sluggish. It's ill. It's not well. And we all know what a heart that is loaded with grease is like today, because studies have been done on it, and it shows that the heart is in bad shape and it's sickly. But that's the way it is with a sinner. A sinner's heart is as fat as grease. It's hardened. It can't seem to function correctly because it's not right with God. And so he said, their heart is as fat as grease. It's ill. It's not working properly. But I delight in thy law. That which they despise, I love. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now that's quite a statement. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. But I mentioned a moment ago that when a person realizes that God has reached down from heaven with his rod and his staff and he's pulled us back into the sheepfold, we should be praising God for that, because it proves that we are a child of God. It may not be pleasant at the time, but it is a wonderful thing to know that God cares. If God didn't care, he wouldn't mess. He wouldn't bother with you. And it's wonderful to know that he does care. He's our Heavenly Father, and he does care what we do. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. The larch tree, when it was taken into England the first time, it was brought from southern Europe. And thinking that it had come from a warm climate, the people of England took the larch tree and they put it in a hothouse. And they watered it every day, and the more they watered it and the more heat they gave it, the more it withered and the more it dried up. And finally they said, this thing's dead. We don't understand what happened to it. They took the trees out of the hothouse and they threw it out on a dung pile. And after they did that, the tree sprouted and it grew. What they were doing is they were giving it so much heat, it actually needed the cold in order for it to grow. It had to face a certain amount of affliction before the tree could thrive. In the fall of the year, what happens when the nights turn cold and the frost comes? We have the most beautiful trees that you can ever imagine. That beauty is in those trees, but until they face that cold weather and that affliction, that beauty doesn't come out. And that's the same thing that happens with a child of God. Until a child of God faces affliction, realizes how much God loves them, has wandered off, but God has drawn them back and they've grown stronger in their faith because of it, only then can God really do beautiful things with that life. Only then can God get a hold of a life and change it and really do some wonderful things with a life that understands that God cares. And sometimes God brings affliction. We look back in the Old Testament. We see the book of Job and what Job went through. And I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and he said, well, that was the Old Testament. That doesn't happen today. Well, how do you explain the Apostle Paul? Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh, and I came to the Lord three times, and I begged him to take it away from me. And God said, no, because in your weakness, I am strong. Sometimes God brings affliction into our lives. What right does God have to do that? Every right in the world. He's God. And many times we just don't understand what God's doing with our lives until long after it's over, long after the difficulty is over, we begin to understand then. Sometimes we don't even understand at all in this life. But when we get to heaven, we will. There's a much larger picture that we cannot see. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. In other words, that I might learn to lean upon the Word of God and be faithful. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. All the riches we need are contained in the book that we hold in our hands. I guess the thing that we have to ask ourselves tonight is, are we a bee or are we a fly? Are we attracted to that which is earthly, that which is dying, that which is only for a moment, or are we attracted to something that is far more beautiful? And will we add to that beauty by telling others about the beauty of God? We're going to close with that. We'll pick up in verse 73 next week. And let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do thank You for the Word of God and for the many ways that we can look at it through this psalm. We just pray that You would continue to bless and watch over us this evening as we go to our prayer time. We pray that we might find great comfort, Lord, in kneeling before You. And God, we give You all the praise and all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.